Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Nicole Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Nicole with the message.
Amen. How are you today? Y'all looking good. Come on, somebody. You can go ahead and be seated. But while you're seated, I want you to say something. I want you to say, miracles are moving. Ooh, man, it's strong here in Florida. I apologize for the way I look at all the campuses today. The Lord was in this place, and I was crying my makeup off on the front row. I ran us out of tissues, and I know that God is doing something special today, and we're talking about miracles moving today. So I want you to find three people right now before we get started and touch them and say, miracles are moving. Miracles are moving. Release your faith with it. Miracles are moving. Come on, Ferguson, Florida. Miracles are moving. Miracles are moving. Miracles are moving. Okay. Yeah, miracles are moving. God is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving. Quick question. Do you believe that miracles still happen today? How many of you have received something in your life that you believe is a miracle? Say amen. Amen. I know miracles are moving. Something is moving. The Spirit is moving. Yes, yes. We only get what we believe for. We only get where our faith is. So it's time to step into this expectation. Are you ready to step in?
Yes.
Because here's something I've noticed about myself. I don't like moving. I mean, I don't like going to the gym. I don't like working out. I don't like getting sweaty. And recently, my husband and I have been thinking about downsizing here in Florida. We had a house for Austin and Morgan and Liam and Ashton and me, and guests would come down, and they all moved out, and it's the two of us, and I don't want to clean it all. And deal do this thing I do. You drive by a house that you have no intention of buying. You're just nosy and want to see the inside, and they have an open house, and you go in. Have you ever liked open a cabinet door, or medicine cabinet in a house? And yeah. Don't lie in church, but you don't have to raise your hand, okay? But I like the idea of moving. But then when I think about it, I don't want to pack the boxes. I don't want to decide what to keep. I don't want to decide what to give away. I don't want to decide what fits. I don't want to unpack it. I don't want to decide where it goes. When it boils down to it, I don't want to move. I wonder how many of our miracles are right here. But get this, if you're a note taker, God doesn't move your miracle, God moves you. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to move. Come on, Fairview Heights, you better say it loud. Somebody better say it to my husband. Y'all, my precious husband is at the Fairview Heights campus today hanging out. Y'all, I know he's good looking. I know he, so y'all take care of him. I know Pastor Casper's gonna take him out to lunch today. Feed him well and feed him healthy, okay? Send him home to mama. So our scripture today comes out of Luke 5. And I'm an Easter egg kind of girl. Like, I find things in the Bible because I just look and I dig. And 5, does anybody know what the number 5 means in biblical numerology? 5 is the number of? And 2025 is the year of grace multiply. So I just love it that the scripture comes out of Luke grace, right? Because we don't get our miracles because of what we do. We move into our miracles because of God's grace, right? So Luke 5, they're going to put it on the screen, but I'm going to tell the story. Luke 5:17. It's the story of Jesus. And Jesus is just getting popular, y'all. He's just getting popular. Everything is coming together. His ministry, he's doing miracles. People are coming to see him. He's just recruited Matthew to be on the team. Matthew's a newbie. I mean, this story is such a wow factor in the Bible. It's in Matthew 9, it's in Mark 2, and it's in Luke 5. But when Matthew, he's new on the team, he doesn't know how to write about this stuff yet. When Matthew writes about it, he puts about 3 lines in there. When you get to Mark's scripture, there's a whole lot more because this whole story happens at, they say it happens at Peter's house. And when you find out what happened to Peter's house, you would be mad if you were Peter. You would be like, tell the whole story, y'all. Tell the whole story. Because what happens is, all the Jewish leaders, all the Pharisees, all the regular church attenders of the day find out Jesus is coming to town, and they're coming in, and they pack that house, man. It's like Faith Church. Faith Church gets packed, and then we start another campus and break it off and make room for more, and we start another campus. Like, if we had one church, we'd have the biggest church in town because, like, everybody comes to one place, but we just keep breaking off, making more. Just like we're doing Lake Worth here, y'all. Going to be open later this year. Fairview Heights just opened. So they're all packing it in, and what happens was, well, you know what? Can y'all, with these two rows of people right here, would y'all come up around here and would y'all help me for a second? You know, you won't have to say anything. You won't have to do anything. You will be an innocent bystander. But just go right around here. Tobias will show you the way. So they're all in the house and they're listening to Jesus and they are intent. And while they're in the house, there was this guy. You see, this guy gotten paralyzed. I don't know if he fell off a horse, if he fell off a donkey. I don't know what happened to him. But he had four friends that said, hey, we're going to bring you into this house, and we're going to get you in front of Jesus, and we are going to get you healed. Now, and would you? I know the tendency would be to line up, but would you guys just, like, gather together like y'all a bunch of friends? Like, okay, so you're gathered. Get real close. Now come forward. Now look at them. Like, Jesus is right here, and y'all are tight. And you got here early, and you saved your seat, and it is your seat. You don't want anybody else here because this is your seat, and you're not giving it up. So don't let nobody through, all right? Don't let nobody through. So here they are. There's Jesus. And these guys, they have a paralyzed friend. And now I don't know how far they brought him, and I know there wasn't an ambulance, and I know they didn't have a minivan, right? They don't have, like, big wagons. They don't have all of the things we have today. So they have a paralyzed friend, and four guys somehow carried him to this house. And when they get to the house, they start looking, and people are inside, people are outside, and they're like, okay, we have a situation. We need to get into the house. So here's what we're going to do. Come on, man. I got you, man. We're just going to make a way through. Excuse me. We need somebody who needs to see excuse me. Pardon me. No, seriously. Guys, man, he's paralyzed. Come on, man. We came a long way. Could you come? Y'all, we'll give you your spot back. Just let it. What? You know, when we read the Bible and we see these things, we don't, like, put ourselves in the place. We, like, read the Bible and, like, there was a crowd, they tried to get through, and then they couldn't get through. So, you know, no. They're like, bro, listen, I got a guy outside. What?
I'm sorry.
Okay, ma'am, my friend, we came 6 miles. He just needs you for a minute, okay?
We came 10.
So, why are they so much cooler than me? Why are they so much cooler than me? I wonder how stuck we get in our rhythms, our seats, our places, and our routines. Even at the grocery store, even at the PTA meeting, even in the neighborhood, like, I'm busy, y'all, I'm busy. I gotta keep going. And these people are gathered, and there are hurting people outside. There are hurting people, and they're trying to get in. The crowd will gather, but what about those who can't? I mean, because some people can't walk in because they're wounded. So we gonna leave them outside? No, some people can't walk in because they're wounded, so our job is to carry them in. Until they can stand, because their healing might start with our helping. Yes. Y'all did a great job. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I mean, a lot of hurt we can't see, right? I had an Instagram clip go viral. They'll put it on the back. Well, you can just see it. We won't play it. If you can go check it out on my Instagram or Facebook later. But I look fine there, right? Why did this video go viral? Was the content so good? No, the content wasn't good, but the concept was real. And it was real because it happened to me that day. It's because I wore that outfit. We wore the same outfit on Saturday and Sunday. Wore that outfit on Saturday, got something on it, washed it, pulled it out of the dryer Sunday on my way out the door, and the sweater, the dryer didn't go. And the sweater was soaking wet, and it was wintertime. And I was sitting on the front row of the church, shivering and hurting. because I was so cold in this wet sweater in the wintertime in St. Louis, and nobody knew. And I wonder how many people walk into church and they're hurting. They're physically wounded on the inside. Their past is wounded. Their marriage is wounded. Their confidence is wounded. They're emotionally wounded. They're addicted and wounded. And we don't even know what's going on with them. And they look fine. So we're like, no, man, they're cool. Like that beautiful girl that was standing next to me. She's so much cooler than me. But what if she's hurting on the inside? And so we pass people up and we don't think about how do we get them in. So it says in verse 19, so they crawled onto the roof, dug their way through the roof tiles, lowered the man, stretcher and all, into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. That is one sentence in the Bible. And I was reading that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is a whole six-hour story right there. That's like, how do they pack so much into a sentence in that place? Because I was just thinking, oh my gosh, what happened here was, where's Tobias at? Tobias, would you come back up here for me? Because what happened is they're outside with a guy that they just carried for miles. And I mean, think of it this way. He wasn't able to walk. He wasn't able to carry himself, but he has to get up on the roof. I don't know if Tobias is in the room. Kendall's already volunteering. He is running up here. Well, thank you, Kendall. So they go to, when it says they crawled up on the roof, we got to think about that. First of all, you need yourself four crazy friends, right? Because if you're not in a group, come here, Kendall, because if you're not in a group, you need to get in a group. Because if Kendall is a paralyzed man, would you lay down, maybe lay down for me just for a minute? If Kendall is paralyzed and I need to get him on a roof, do you think Kendall can do it himself? No. When we are paralyzed by fear, when we are paralyzed because we don't know what to do, and we are paralyzed without wisdom and direction, how do we get to that next level in God? We need somebody to come help us. We need a small group around us. We need to be in a connect group. We need to be connected at Faith Church. We need somebody who's going to pray for us at 3 a.m. when we call them, and they're going to answer the phone. We need somebody who says, I don't know the answer, but I know God knows the answer. I'm going to go to the scriptures for you. We need somebody who says, I know you're not okay, so I'm going to come with you, and I don't know what to do, but I'm going to be not okay with you, but I'm not going to leave you down. I'm going to give you a hand down, and I'm going to pull you up here, and we're going to pray together. Can I get a good amen at all the campuses? Because that's who we are at Faith Church. We get in groups. We get around one another. And I say this in my circle of friends all the time. We have a hand up to somebody who's gone farther than we have. But we have a hand down to bring somebody with us who hasn't come as far as we have. We got to get in a group. Turn to your neighbor and say, get in a group. But who are we going to get in a group with? We got to get in a group with our friends. We got to invite people to church. We got to invite the hurting to church. I love that the pretty people come to church. I love that the cool people come to church. I love that the healed people come to church. But I hope we bring the hurting people to church. I hope we bring them hurting. Because are you okay here, Kendall? You okay? Okay. I was a little worried about him back there. Do you need to use the restroom? No, you're good? Okay. If you need a bathroom break, just hit me on the ankle twice. Okay. Okay. Because people get hurt different ways. Like, I met Jonna. Now, if we put a picture of Jonna and Alan on the screen, I work with Jonna every day. Aren't they a good-looking couple? I won't tell you how old she is, but she's older than me, which isn't old because I'm 29. And she's fine, right? She's fine. She's gorgeous. She's married to a good-looking husband. They started coming to Faith Church in 2012, and they had some hurt on the inside from some experiences in their life past. And what they did is they started sneaking in the door, sitting right on the edge right over there, the first row on the way out. They brought their kids. They'd come to church. They'd wait till the benediction. The second the benediction happened, she said, our family goal was to be the first people in the parking lot. And we made it every Sunday. She said, I didn't even know what the front of the church looked like. I'd never been to the portico. I'd never been to the lobby. And I never wanted to go because I'd been wounded. She did that for 6 years. Here's the thing about your miracle. Sometimes your miracle, you have to move into it because your miracle is the key to other people's miracle. And maybe you can't move in your miracle, and maybe you can't be the miracle, but you can be a mat carrier for somebody else's miracle. What if somebody else's miracle depends on us? So here Jonna was sneaking in and sneaking out, sneaking in and sneaking out. And once we got her out into the lobby, turns out Jonna's a dynamo. She is great with people. She loves everybody. She knows everybody's name. She is like glue that holds the Sunset Hills campus together. And today, she's at Sunset Hills. Alan is at the back of the room. He's the back of house manager. Jonna is the campus coordinator. And they dream team that position. And now she's on staff. And they're helping people like crazy. But it took them 6 years. And after 6 years, she said, well, if this is going to be our church, maybe I should go to Growth Track. Now I know her and I can say things like this to her. I'm like, you think? She's like, I know. I don't know. It took me so long. Y'all, she's so chatty and she's so fun. And you know, one of the ways she got engaged, I saw her in the lobby that she didn't want to go to. And I went up to her and I'm like, you look like a newscaster. What do you do? I didn't know what to say to that pretty little thing. I just started a conversation. Everybody say, start a conversation. Sometimes we have to carry the conversation for a minute, and we get a little nervous of it. Let's go back to verse 19. So the friends, they crawled up onto the roof, right? They crawled under the roof and made their way through the roof tiles. So that is all the sentence to a comma. But here's what I need you to think about. If you're in St. Louis, you don't want friends from downtown St. Louis who live in a high rise, or here in West Palm Beach who live in a high rise, to be the guys who come with you on this day, because they will not know what to do. They'll be like, where's the elevator? And now what? Okay, I don't know. Let's go home. Okay, yeah, because my shoes are too cute, right? No. You need some guys from Warren County. You need some guys from Franklin County or Jefferson County in Missouri. If you're down here in Florida, you need some people from Lake Okeechobee, some people who live out in the acreage, right? You need some people who got a chainsaw, a trailer, and some rope, and they look like they're either going to rob a bank or save your life. You need some people with some know-how. You need some people who say, all right, Bob. Okay, hey, Kendall, we got you, man. We got you. We cannot get you in. We were busting through the crowd. Kendall, we did not come this far to only come this far. You know what? Jesus did not bring you this far to leave you here. He did not bring you this far to leave the knife sticking out of you. He did not bring you this far to say, I know you're still hurt. I kind of healed you, but we're going to leave some big scars. No, God did not bring you this far to leave you here. He's going to pick you up and take you the whole way. Your miracle is right there, but we got to move into it. I want to know at every campus today, are you going to move into your miracle? Because if you are, I need a good amen. Somebody praise God for his miracles for 3 seconds. God, all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do, we praise you. Because this has been us. And who else in our life is this? That we're the crowd. And we're not paying attention to. Because if I need to get Kendall somewhere, do I have your permission to, like, touch his armpits? Okay. I'd be like, how many of you know I could not get him on a roof by myself? I need my connect group. I need my friends. I need some ingenuity. I need some grit. I need four people who say, I don't know what we got, but I'll go find a Lowe's, and if Lowe's ain't open, I'll break in the backside and pay him the money later. You need four friends who say, you know what, I'm not going to judge you for your road trip snacks, and I'm not going to judge you in the middle of the night. I got enough money to get us out of jail. I got bail money in my pocket, right, because we just might need it after what we're doing. Or there's a group text that's gone too far. It's like going to Peter's house, bring rope, bring chainsaws. Kendall's getting healed tonight. No matter what, be ready to go to jail. Because they had to figure out not just how to get themselves on the roof, they had to figure out how to get him safely on the roof. How do you even do that on a ladder? Did they bring a ladder? I don't think they brought a ladder. They walked. But they figured out how to take a friend and not leave him down where he was and get him up on the roof. Kendall, did you do an amazing job? I'm not going to leave you down there by yourself. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, life is almost only so much fun when you do life alone. When you do life with other people, I could have told you that example, but was it more fun with Kendall? Yeah. I could have told you the example of the crowd, but was it more fun with the people? Yes. Life is more fun with people. Life is more fun in groups. And life is more fun when we invite people along. And I know it's work to get them here. So work it, because it's worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, work it, because it's worth it. So, you know, we let little things stop us too, because we get all, anybody get in their head sometimes? We get in our head and we're like, well, like, what if I invite somebody and then I come and I like have to entertain them? Or like, what if I have to pick them up? Or what if I have to like to talk to them in the car? And then we don't know each other that well. It could be awkward. What if I start a small group and people expect me to know stuff? Oh, what am I gonna do if they expect me to know stuff? Baby, I have the answer to that question. If you don't know the answer, Google it. Google me, baby. Right, just Google it. Tell people, I don't know, but we'll find out together. Because all of our what-ifs are in our way. But what if God heals them? What if God saves them? What if God restores them? What if God does a miracle for them? And what if you are the key to their miracle? And what if you moving them is the key to your miracle? Maybe when we do things for other people, God is working on doing things for us. And I know you don't want to do it. And I know you don't want to do it. And I know rejection comes with it. I had a friend. And I was like, I love this person already. We'd known him for years. But I was like, I'm not letting this friend go to hell. So every time I would preach, I'd be like, because for like 5 years, I preached every other weekend in St. Louis and Florida. So I'd be like, hey, when I'm in your city, hey, I'm preaching. You want to come see me? No, I'm busy. Got something with the kids. Got something with the people. Got something with work. But every time I came, I texted one time, two times, five times, 10 times. I didn't count, so it was maybe 15 or 20 times before I got a yes, but I got a yes, and they came. And I remember what I was wearing. Because when I saw everybody here, but I was preaching for an audience of one. I just wanted God. I was like, God, touch that one person, touch that one person, touch that one person. And I had on a pink jacket, a white shirt. I had on some ripped jeans, and I was sitting in an overstuffed chair, and I was talking about hearing from God. And when I prayed this salvation prayer, I saw that hand go up. God wants you to be that miracle for somebody else. We got to go out to the highways and byways, y'all. We are not fancy church, khaki pants. You better starch your shirt before you walk in that door. Put on your tie and wear your fancy church hat, ma'am. No, we are a highways and byways church. We compel people, come in from wherever you are. Come in however you are. We want you here. We are your place. Be imperfect. Be who you are. Just be with us as we chase Jesus. The paralytic man, when Kendall was up here, he couldn't move on his own. Sometimes we have to go to them. You know, y'all, at all the campuses today, there's a girl, she's sitting in here, Melissa. She's amazing. She raised her hand right here. She's like, that's me, that's me. She's at West Palm Beach. I met her a couple weeks ago. And she started telling me her story of being in prison, where she met us. And coming out, check this out. Watch this. She tells a story. I whipped my phone out.
I just wanted to say thank you so much, because like really inspired me, because I was so mad at God because I lost my kids and I was molested and everything, and like I bought your book and it really inspired me, and like now I've been coming to this church and everything, and I just thank you so much, because you just really inspired me, and I love you guys so much.
And we met because of our prison ministry.
Yes, and I met you guys because of the prison ministry, like at Belglades. So thank you so much.
And you're free.
Yes, I'm free.
Yes,
I've been out for 2 months.
And Melissa's sitting there in her blessed shirt. She's crying in the third row right now. She was a greeter at the front door, y'all, welcoming people into a house that she felt welcome in, because we went out to her and we brought her in the house and we showed her the love of Jesus, and we're praying for her and we're celebrating her, because we are a part of her miracle and we don't even know what all God is doing. Come on, all campuses, give God a shout of praise. As he's moving in other people, he's moving in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm moving to my miracle. Whew. But we got to find the people. And I know it's weird. So how do we start the conversation. Okay, how do I start this conversation, Pastor Nicole? Because I don't know how to find people. Well, I'm on airplanes a lot. And let me tell you about a day I was good, but first let me tell you about all the days I was bad. I'm about to tell you a good story about sitting on an airplane and chatting up my neighbor, but can I tell you about how many times I got on a plane and put my AirPods in? Because I was tired. Because I had something to do. I had work to do while I was on that plane. That's my alone time. But my alone time didn't include the soul sitting next to me. At least I could give them 5 minutes. So I don't tell a story to give me glory. I want to tell you about the times I failed. And then I want to tell you about a couple of times that I got it right. Is that okay? So I go and I sit on the plane. And there's this little 70-something-year-old man. And he's like so cute. And he's got his like black vinyl whatever UNC backpack, throws it under. He looked kind of tired. And I thought, oh, bless his heart. I'm going to talk to him. And so I'm just like, hey, how you doing? Fine. He's like, had a long night, man. Had this event in town. Then we went to the casinos all night. Probably going to sleep all day on the plane. And I was kind of like, whoo-hoo, there's my permission to check out, right? Yeah. I'm like, no, I understand. You sleep. But then we got to chatting. You know, just where are you from? Here, what do you do? So we got to chatting. We got to talking. And as we were talking, people were getting on the plane going, hey. Now, in St. Louis in Florida, I'm used to that because people from our church get on the same plane as us. They say hi. I say hi. Well, nobody's saying hi to me. Everybody's saying hi to him. I'm like, why is everybody talking to this guy? I'm like, nah, I'm imagining things. They're probably saying hi to me. So they keep by. Finally, somebody's like, hey, coach, how you doing, man? He's like, good. He's like, good game last night. He's like, yeah, good game. I'm like, what were you in town for? He goes, oh, it's just an event. It's just an event. I spoke a little bit at an event. I said, what kind of event? He goes, a basketball event. I said, okay, I think everybody on this plane knows who you are, except me. So that would make me the stupid one, right? So I just put myself in the humility seat right there. And it gave him compassion. And I said, do you mind telling me who you are? And so before we left, I actually had him record this video for Pastor Phil's kids, Preston and Brandon, because he's the UNC head coach. Check this out. See if you guys know him right now.
Preston, somebody wants to talk to you.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, Preston. Roy Williams. I'm an old guy, but I used to coach a lot of basketball. This young lady was awfully nice and said great things about you. I hope you guys are having a great day. Thank you.
Would all the guys in the house who like basketball cheer for Roy Williams? I was really excited I got some guy points on that. But Roy and I got to chatting. We got to talk about Jesus. We got to talk about church. We got to talk about our souls. We got to talk about leadership. We didn't talk much about basketball because I didn't know. But because I talked to him, he talked to me. He was tired, but he stayed awake the whole time. And I don't know what his status with Jesus was before he got on the plane. But by the time he got off the plane, he knew about Jesus. He knew what Jesus could do for him. He knew that Jesus loved him. And he might even be tuned in right now. So we got to step out. We got to move. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to move. So on your way out today, we've got these packages of postcards. Because how do I start the conversation? Just have a few questions ready. When you're in the grocery line, ask the checker, hey, where are you from? How long you been working here? Oh, you like your job? Yeah, you work on the weekends? Oh, what do you do on the weekends? Oh, I always go to church on the weekend. You know about Faith Church? No? Here's a postcard. Right? You just find one thing in common. Have a few questions. Write them on your phone if you're not sure of them. Grab the packet of postcards before you go out. And if you're too shy to start the conversation, post the postcard on your coffee shop. Post the postcard in the car next to you at the grocery store. Post the postcard at the grocery store. And if you're like, I don't want a postcard, get your car sprayed. We're going to give you a free spray on your car. Say, come to Easter at Faith Church. All you got to do is drive around town and be a billboard for Jesus for free. We got some Faith Church merch out there. It says, come to Faith Church on it. Get the t-shirt. Spray the car. Grab the postcards and be somebody like Kendall's miracle. Next weekend, April 5th and 6th, we have this thing called Reach Day. What is that? That's where we all get together for a couple hours. We get a big stack of postcards and we go to grocery stores and malls and strip malls and we just put them on the cars. We just invite people we don't know, like Melissa, and wonder if they have a hurt in their heart and a hole in their soul and a body of people and the love of Jesus that they need, and we come and we meet them where they are. And do you know what it does? It does verse 20, Luke 5, verse 20. It impresses Jesus. Do you want to know how to impress Jesus? It says it right here. It says, seeing the demonstration of their faith. You see, it wasn't the demonstration of the paralytic's man's faith that impressed Jesus, because the paralytic man couldn't do anything for himself at that point. It was the demonstration of the friend's faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, you my friend? Seeing the demonstration of their faith, that moved Jesus. It says, Jesus said to the paraplegic man, sir, your sins are forgiven. Now, I think right then when Jesus said that, the friends had to probably be like, well, that's not why we came. Thank you for forgiveness, but that's not why we're here. See, he's got this other problem. And that's what I love about when you bring your friends to church. We bring them because we think we know what they need. And we even come because we think we know what we need. But when we come to Jesus, he knows what we really need. And before he moves in the area that we want him to, he moves in the area that he knows he needs to. And I say that to say this, Jesus knows who you are, he knows what you need, he knows where you are, and he knows how to help you. He knows about you what you don't know about you, and he helps you in a space that you cannot help yourself. And his grace, we don't have to reach up for to get it. His grace reach all the way down to where we are on the floor. And he says, I don't even care how low you are, I'm down there for you, and I'm fixing the bigger problems you didn't even know you had. He's not like a doctor treating the symptoms. He's like a real doctor treating the root cause. So God will cause the pastor or the preacher or somebody praying or the host or somebody in the lobby to say code words. Anybody ever said a code word to you? Like it didn't mean anything to other people, but it's like, yeah, it was like a butterfly. And you're like, that, when I see a butterfly, I know it's God. He'll speak code words and he'll help us. Jesus knew the message he needed to hear. And then he could do what they wanted him to do. So then Jesus, here's the thing. People are going to give you some trouble about inviting people to church, okay? People are going to be like, you're the Jesus freak. Why are you doing that? Why you go to church every Sunday? Like, oh my gosh, don't you get bored? Or, oh my gosh, you actually give money to the church. Why do you do that? And they're going to give you all of these reasons, and that's normal. In verse 21, the Jewish religious leaders are like, who's this guy think he is? You know, what's going on here? And I'm here to share with you, if you're not getting in some trouble about Jesus, haters don't. If you don't have haters, you ain't going far enough. I'm talking about in your Christian walk. I'm talking about in your professional walk. I'm talking about in your influence. I'm talking about in your life. You got to step out and you got to move enough so somebody can be hating on you just a little bit, because they hate on you when they're envious of you. So get some haters. Let them talk about you just a little bit and watch Jesus step up in your defense. Jesus said, oh, y'all talking about it? I heard you thinking it. Well, if you think it's hard to forgive his sins, how about this? And he reaches down to him and he said, hey, to prove that I have the lawful authority to heal the wounds you didn't even know you had. I'll let that sit for 1 second. To prove that I have the lawful authority to save your soul, to bring you to heaven, to heal the hurts that you don't even want to talk about. He said, the Son of Man, I say to you now, stand up, carry your stretcher home, for you are healed. And he got up instantly. He got up immediately. You know, what miracles are waiting on us to move? What if God's waiting on us? He's like, here's your miracle, get here. Your miracle's at church, your miracle's in your connect group, your miracle's in your prayer time, just get here. And what if somebody else's miracle is sitting there and they just need us to grab their hand and bring them because they don't know the way? Your movement makes room for a miracle. And as I close, I am so grateful for a praying mama. Because I wasn't always a pastor, y'all. And at 17, I was a pregnant, unwed mother. I had a messed up life, and it got worse before it got better. But I had a mama who prayed for me. She moved on my behalf for my miracle. my mama calls me and says, I can't believe how God exceeded every expectation. You might be in line for a miracle, but you're also likely part of somebody else's. At all campuses today, or city, gosh, I haven't even talked to you today, or city. Pastor Ree, I love y'all. I love how Tim Macklin heads the ushers, and I love how Melanie runs around everywhere. I love that Andrew's in there with the kids. I love Aiden always smiling in there. At every campus today, if you need a miracle in your life, would you raise your hand so we know who needs a miracle? Now, wait. Keep your hand up and look around, y'all. If we need miracles in this room, how bad do they need miracles out there? Okay, one more question. How many of you don't want to go after your miracle alone? You want somebody to stand with you on your way to your miracle. So how about we stand with one another? And then how about we go out and we find somebody in the highways and byways, and we grab them and we compel them to come in. Come in for Easter. Come in for the women's event. Come in for the men's event. Come in for the small group. Come on, you can stand at every campus. They're just standing up here in Florida. You just stand, stand, and stand. For those in need of a miracle, I'm going to pray for you right now, but I also want to pray for someone that you know needs a miracle. One last hand raise. How many of you know somebody who needs a miracle? Will you let me pray for you and them at the same time? And as I pray for you in your heart, will you pray for them? And then when you invite them to church, Father God, I pray over each and every person underneath the sound of my voice. God, you are moving in miracles. You are moving in provision. You are moving in healing. You are moving in restoration. You are moving in breaking addictions. There's a guy over here on my left-hand side of Florida. I could see him during worship, and I could see God moving on him. And I believe that God was moving on several people during this service, and that God's going into them, and that his anointing is breaking the yoke of bondage. That thing that's on your brain all the time, it feels like a claw. I decree in the name of Jesus that that is rebuked, and God is lifting that claw off of your head, lifting that tendency off of your head, that you're not strong in yourself, but you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you are weak, he is strong. When you don't know what to do, he's giving wisdom. When your body is aching, he is giving healing. I speak to long living diseases, lifetime situations, and I say that the power of that lifetime diagnosis is broken in the name of Jesus. That God is moving in miracles, and we'll be able to tell the story for his glory. And we reach our hands to heaven and surrender, and we receive it now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of Faith Church said amen and amen. Go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise.